Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for the Week in Health. How can we make your life a little better? That's where Dr. Jeremy Silver comes in, medical director, emergency medicine, Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, my friend, welcome to the show again. Nice to have you with us.
Hey, good morning, Dean. Thanks for having me.
A couple of interesting studies regarding cancer this week. Can you fill us in on what is the latest? But some of it seems pretty hopeful.
It does indeed. I think you're referring, at least in one of these studies, to multiple myeloma and possibly on the edge of what some are saying may be a cure. There was a study of about 100 patients who were at the end of the clinical road. They had exhausted standard care, and they received this infusion of their own T cells. Those are part of the immune system. They're warrior cells, if you will, that had been genetically modified, infused back into their body, and they were cancer-free a large percentage. Complete remission lasting at least 5 years.
Wow.
That's just unheard of. It's basically unheard of.
Yeah.
And you know, these modified cell infusions are nothing new. The issue is they're really tough to get it right. And you know, imagine taking a stick off a tree and trying to whittle, a perfect, type of shape, like if you were trying to whittle a picture of your own face. I mean,
right.
It's that intricate. How many times you'd have to do it to get it right? In millions, right? And so that's kind of what's been happening in the lab. And this company, Legend Biotech, partnered with Johnson & Johnson, and this could be huge. You know, and even if there's problems with it down the line, you've bought these people 5 more years, which, you know, is a lifetime when you're dying of cancer. So myeloma is a horrible disease. It's a disease where you develop these dysfunctional cells in your bone marrow that basically eat away at your bone marrow, and it's just it's awful. 36,000 Americans develop it every year. And so if a third of them can be cured, that's a large number of people.
That's a pretty big deal. This is just a study that has come out this past week. It's got a long way to go before complete implementation, but very hopeful for people with multiple myeloma. And I would think that it must have some effect on other cancers as well, that other researchers would look at that and go, maybe something similar would work for breast cancer or stomach cancer, colon cancer, or you know, something, it might open a window in other kind of research, right?
Well, this is the beauty of shared science in an era where information is instantaneously available. Exactly right. Somebody in a lab halfway around the world says, wait a minute, I can apply this to my research, and the next thing you know, you have a cure for cancer. So pretty exciting. If you have multiple myeloma, your ears might perk up. I definitely recommend mentioning this to your oncologist if you're out there.
Yeah. Related, another trial was completed that showed that an exercise program lowers the risk of colon cancer. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, this was interesting. You know, exercise we know is good for the body, and I think we intuitively understand that it's just a part of being human. But recently, there's been a plethora of research showing that it actually reduces inflammation. We know that inflammation is a key contributor to disease, whether it's cancer or coronary artery disease or what have you. But we haven't had a lot of hard evidence to say, well, and this is exactly the type you need and how much you need and who needs it, et cetera, et cetera. So this was 900 patients at 55 cancer centers in 6 countries. So a huge swath of the human population, big study. And it showed that people who participated in a structured program, right, it's not just I think I'll take a walk today, but they actually had to do certain things. Lived longer without their cancer coming back and without the occurrence of new cancers, both of which are problematic, right? Once you've got cancer, you worry about it returning, but you're also more likely to develop another cancer. And so a 37% lower risk of dying and a 28% lower risk of recurrent or new cancer than those who were in the control group. That means there were people that were studied that were exercising and people that were studied that weren't doing the structured exercise, and it was a significant difference. So that's massive. You know, the study goes on and on to look at different things, but I think, you know, if I'm reading this, I'm going to go out, and if I've got cancer, I'm going to get a personal trainer. I'm going to say, hey, listen, I want to mirror that study. Yeah. Help me get my program up to snuff. And you could probably even just Google it and go in and see what they did and then do it yourself.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have cancer, heck, why not? It can't hurt.
Yeah, what a shock. Exercise is good for you. How about that? Let me take a break. When we come back, how the cup of coffee that you're having this morning might influence aging. We'll get to that coming up next. And our weekend health segment with Dr. Jeremy Silver from Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Turns out that your morning cup of coffee may be influencing your health in a good way when it comes to aging. Doctor, please explain.
Well, Dean, I'm glad you emphasized morning because I think the timing may matter. There's been a number of studies over the last few years that have looked at coffee intake and longevity reductions in risk of cardiovascular disease and things and cancer and other things. And I think the takeaway is that caffeinated coffee has some components in it that are positive for health, anti-inflammatory most likely. And there's another study that just came out, the Healthy Aging in Women study. It was a study of 47,500 nurses over 30 years. Okay, so this is not just a snapshot. This was a long, drawn-out program where they looked at the consumption of caffeinated coffee in midlife, by the way. And it was correlated with 2 to 5% higher odds of healthy aging. So that's defined as living past 70 with no major chronic disease or decline. That's significant. And it was 2 to 3 cups. That was kind of the sweet spot. And that's consistent with other studies, this kind of 3-cup range. And again, it's got to be caffeinated. And the thought is also that by drinking it in the morning, you're aligning your circadian clock, meaning that internal clock that tells you to wake up in the morning and go to bed at night. And some other studies have shown that the drinking it in the afternoon doesn't have the same benefit because then you're screwing up your bedtime, so to speak. But I think that, you know, we're seeing lower mortality with coffee at 3 cups a day. We're seeing higher odds of healthy aging. I tell my patients all the time, coffee drinking is good for you. And again, the last piece of this is, as we always say, in moderation, some of these studies have something called a J curve. And without getting too sciencey about it, on the low end of the spectrum, like 1 cup a day, you don't see benefit. On the high end of the spectrum, 6 to 8 cups a day, you don't see benefit. It's that, you know, Goldilocks, just right kind of area that where you start to have a real bang for your buck.
Yeah, so like 2 to 3 cups and caffeinated too. I'm surprised.
Correct.
I'm surprised about the caffeination. Because, you know, forever doctors have said try to go decaf to keep your blood pressure down a little bit. Very, very interesting study. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Have a great Sunday, Doc. We'll talk with you soon.
Cheers. Thanks, Dean.